Welcome back to Wyoming Through New Eyes. My name is Carol Ann. I am originally from Colorado Springs, and the knowledge I have about the state of Wyoming has increased since last we've talked.
My name is Taylor. I'm the other half of this duo. I am originally from Wyoming, and I am one of the people showing Carol Ann all the cool things about Wyoming.
If you were with us last time, we had discussed our lovely adventures, plural, to Devil's Tower and Taylor's hometown of Hewlett, Wyoming. If you're joining us for the first time, great timing. This is our last normal episode. Don't fear, though. It's not our conclusion. That's going to be next episode. But if you are joining us for the first time, feel free and visit our website to check out pictures of us, to learn a little bit more about me and Taylor. Our website is going to be tkandcwuwcapstone.wordpress.com. And like I said, you can view all of our previous episodes starting from the introduction episode going all the way through 1, 2, and 3 to where we are now.
If I can give you guys any recommendations, I'd say listen to episodes 1, 2, and 3 just so you can get a feel for how weird Carol Ann and I are, particularly when you put us in a room together and give us microphones.
Yeah, we're really weird.
But today we're going to talk about our final road trip that we went on, which was to Saratoga, Wyoming to visit the hot springs. We did actually have some party crashers on our trip this time as well. My fiance Brady and our mutual friend Michael tagged along for the ride. Michael volunteered to drive. Shout out for that.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thank you.
They didn't distract us from our mission to learn, though. And with that, let's kick off this episode with another section of Carol Ann's queries.
Heck yes. Okay, so I've only been to Saratoga once before, and this was like freshman year. Our friends were like, hey, let's go to Saratoga. It was like 6 o'clock at night, so it was a dark drive. And
it was right after spring break, so some of us were just getting into town.
Yeah, it was just a very spontaneous trip, very not memorable.
You don't see a lot in the dark sometimes.
You don't see in the dark, you don't say. Anyway, my questions, first big one is, do the hot springs in Saratoga have any relationships to the hot springs in Thermopolis? Also, are the Thermopolis pools similar to Saratoga's?
So, I mean, I guess I wouldn't say that I know that these hot springs are related in a super direct way, but they're similar in a way that a lot of hot springs are similar. So hot springs are caused by geothermal activity going on under our feet, in the crust, with the magma, everything going on underground. And Wyoming actually doesn't have that many hot springs, if you think about it, considering how much geothermal activity we have. Like over in Yellowstone National Park is this huge geothermal spot, like for the globe. And actually, Yellowstone National Park has like over half of the world's geysers. So it always surprises me that there aren't that many like hot springs in Wyoming. But yeah, so we've got all this geothermal activity just in this area. And that's kind of how the hot springs are going to be related. Essentially, hot springs are these places where the crust under us is either thin enough or there's space in it. And however that ends up happening, the end of it is that magma is heating up the water that ends up being in the hot springs. And sometimes that's swimmable, like it is in Saratoga. And sometimes that's deathly. So you gotta know what you're doing.
Right. Super hot water, bad. Moderate hot water, good.
Lovely. Relaxing.
Yeah. Okay. When we got there, I quite enjoyed this trip, but oh my gosh, the hot spring smelled so bad and I could not get over it. So what the heck happened with that? Why do they smell so bad?
So most hot springs smell something like this. It's not just a Saratoga thing. And it has to do with the minerals in the water in the hot springs. The minerals are also why a lot of people believe in the healing qualities of the water. It's called balneotherapy. I'm probably saying that word wrong. I've always been told that the smell is because of the sulfur. So the resort in Saratoga that we're going to talk about going to has a big old list of minerals that are in the water, listing sulfur specifically, as well as things like calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, a few others. But yeah, largely the smell is because of those minerals.
Great. I mean, yay, healthy, but like,
that's, you know, Thermopolis smells the same.
Brady kept giving me crap because I thought he was like, don't worry, you'll get used to it. It'll be fine. You'll get over it. I never did, but it's fine. The other big thing, when we were driving into Saratoga, I was super excited and I was looking around at the window. And when you looked out the window, there was a sign that said fishing. And then right below it, it said taxidermy. I'm like, ha ha, you taxiderming a fish. That's funny. I was quickly corrected that it's possible. So can you taxidermy a fish?
So the answer is yes.
Yeah.
But there's a very nuanced, like, there's a lot of stuff going on here. If you Google how to taxidermy a fish, in case you're wondering, it comes up really quickly, and clearly other people also have this question. Essentially, animals like a deer or a mountain lion or a bear, they all have, like, hides, so those are easier to taxidermy, and so you can't taxidermy a fish like normal. I'm probably using taxidermy wrong. Is it a verb? Well, doesn't matter right now. I grew up in a town with a really nice taxidermist, and I wouldn't consider myself an expert by any means, but he'd definitely ask me or help me if I asked him questions. Most of the time, you really just take, like, really good measurements and pictures of the fish, and you take it to the taxidermist, and you end up with, like, a fiberglass copy. So it's not actually the fish you caught, it's fiberglass. But I learned from Google that there is a way that you can, like, take the skin of the fish and, like, the scales, some fins, teeth, stuff the inside. Like, most mounts wouldn't be the same, but you can use, like, the scales and taxidermy a fish, which I actually didn't know. I thought it was always just fiberglass copies. That sounds really interesting. It's not something I have a lot of experience with, nor do I have a lot of experience catching fish from which you could extract teeth.
I wish you could see my face right now, to be perfectly honest.
It's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
You look disgruntled.
Yeah, I'm a piranha. Those are the only ones that have teeth in my head, but I know that's not true, and you're going to say something about it.
I know we have northern pike in Wyoming, not in a ton of places, but those bad boys can get some pretty big teeth on them. You got to watch your fingers.
Ugh, it just sounds so not fun. I'm sorry. It just doesn't. So no offense to any of the taxidermy experts out there, but taxiderming a fish does not sound like fun.
I feel like it's going to be one of those things that takes a lot of skill.
Yeah. Like, it's like resume builder. Like, I can taxidermize. I don't know what it is.
Whatever that verb is.
I can stuff a fish.
And taxidermy is really its own art. Like, it is an art form, yeah, and people get really good at it, and it's really fascinating. But
yeah.
I'm not that artistic, or at least I'm not artistic in that way.
Cool. Okay. Question answered. Understood. My last question. Can we go get more ice cream?
Yeah, sure. Any excuse to head back over the mountain. We're going to talk a little bit about the ice cream shop later.
Also, side note, Taylor's getting married this summer, and we have to go over the mountain anyway, so I'm requesting a side bachelorette trip to the ice cream shop.
We can steal the ring bearer and my little flower girl and take them from ice cream.
Yes. The ring bearer.
Bearer.
Not a bear. Anyway. Those are all the questions that I had for today. Mostly, I was mostly concerned about the fish and the ice cream, to be perfectly honest. Like, the hot springs were cool, but, like, fish.
All right.
Anyway, when we got to Saratoga, initially, my first impression, I thought it was adorable. The downtown was super, super cute, and it had, like, that old Western vibe, which most towns in Wyoming do. Laramie definitely does, but there's just something nice and different about Saratoga's that just felt great. I loved all of the bridges. There's a river, I don't know which one, that runs through it.
It's the Platte River.
Yeah, there you go. It's the Platte River, but you walk across the bridges and you're able to get really pretty views of the rivers, like, flowing, and there's mountains. It's just really pretty. I liked it.
Yeah, being in Saratoga reminds me a lot of being at home. We talked in the last episode about my hometown where there's, like, 400-ish people. Saratoga's about the same size, maybe a little bigger. And I actually worked in Saratoga for a while, so it was really familiar to me. And I can tell you that small town culture is a thing, and I feel it when I go to Saratoga.
We did go into a lot of stores, which were kind of cool. There was one store that had a bunch of soaps and candles, which smelled really good. It was supposed to be a cupcake shop, though, right?
Yeah, it used to be a cupcake shop. It appears that now they've expanded and it's just the Mercantile. I do miss the cupcake shop. It was great. But I do believe the lady who owned the bakery, it's Sweet Marie's Mercantile. I think she does, like, private stuff now.
Cool.
That's what I gleaned from her business Instagram.
Fair enough. I liked that shop a lot. They had really good smelling things. The other shop that I really liked was way out of my budget. Like, I kid you not, you walk in and there's, like, a bunch of turquoise jewelry, which is all gorgeous. And then you have, like, these beautiful hand-painted wine glasses. And when I mean hand-painted, it doesn't mean, like, dots. Like, there's hand paints of bears and moose.
Jackalopes. I like the jackalopes.
And flowers. And, like, they're so gorgeous. And then you walk into the actual paintings and you're like, wow, art. Like, it's so pretty. There's so many leaves. And then you walk in the fashion. And like, I touched a pair of boots that was worth $200. I'm like, wow, how much can I not afford this? And then you walk into the fur section. Okay. Like, context. I've had family and friends who have had furs before. I never really asked how expensive it was. You walk in and I touched a beautiful, soft, like, pelt coat. And then I looked at the price tag. And it was $4,500. I felt poor just by touching the coat.
I do actually really like that little store. It's like an art gallery more than anything. And I really appreciate how much art there is in Saratoga. There are lots of little small businesses like the ones we've been talking about, lots of local artists, lots of really cool and unconventional stuff like these like wine glasses. Carolyn is pretty sure now that my fiance and I are in need of some of those hand-painted flutes with ungulates and wildflowers for our wedding. And I can't say I disagree. Somewhere in my apartment, I also have a pair of handmade earrings from when I worked in Saratoga. They're tipped with leather and empty 22 rifle shells, which I thought was really cool and a really cool reuse of a piece of metal that usually gets thrown away or left in the dirt. So there's like so much creativity going on in Saratoga with its residents.
Yeah, it was really cool to walk around town. I just really liked it. After we, like, my first impression, we actually, Taylor was hungry, was the moral of the story. So we went to the Saratoga Hot Springs Resort and we bought nachos. Yeah. But the resort itself was super cool. They were really good nachos. And while we were waiting there, there was a giant chess set. Like, the pieces were the size of my hand, giant. And of course, naturally, we brought two boys along with us on this trip this time. So while we were waiting, we couldn't just sit there and have conversations like normal people. They played an entire game of chess in like 10 minutes. Very entertaining. But Taylor showed me around the resort itself. It was super pretty. I loved the hot springs pools. They have like teepees sitting over them, which was kind of cool to look at. I really wanted to go to the spa, but we did not have the time, which was kind of sad. And then Saratoga has these lovely little booklets of information that I happily read throughout the day, which was really cool. So I learned a lot of different facets of the resort that were available to guests. Like, they had snowmobiles available for use. They had cool business rooms. There was a wedding room, which she's not getting married at Saratoga Resort, but if Taylor had a choice, that would be my second thing, is go get married at Saratoga Resort.
Yeah, this Hot Springs Resort right in downtown Saratoga is actually where I worked in the summer of 2020. So, of course, things were kind of different right then because the pandemic was really just getting kicked off. But it was really interesting to go back a few years later and see what has changed and what hasn't. The server who took our to-go order for the nachos was one of my coworkers from back in that summer, and she actually recognized me, so we got to chat a little bit, see how she's been. It was really nice. They've done a lot of really great upgrades, and the restaurant looks great before you even get to the hot pools. The hot springs have been in the area for longer than Saratoga, obviously, but this resort has also been a staple for a while under a few different names. I actually have a family friend who has worked for the resort for a long time, and I gave her a heads up we were coming to make sure it was okay that we walked around, and she was unfortunately out of town for the weekend, couldn't come say hi, but she was like, yeah, like, take pictures, come say hi next time you come through. There really is a ton there at the resort, like Carolyn said, in addition to the big pool, the little private ones, there's the hotel rooms. There's kind of a gazebo type thing where they do events and such. The restaurant, just like the Snowy Mountain Pub and Brewery. There's a basketball court across the street. And then also there's like the golf course kind of in the back, and then the snow machine rental stuff. So tons of stuff to do.
After eating our wonderful nachos at the Snowy Mountain Pub and Brewery, we literally just drove a couple minutes and we crossed the river and we turned left. And then we were at the hobo pools.
So the hobo pool is this like big main public hot spring in Saratoga. So the hot pool here actually has a decent amount of cool history. The Ute, Cheyenne, and Arapaho tribes not only considered, you know, these hot springs a place of healing, but according to the Saratoga and Carbon County websites, the area was also neutral territory for all the tribes. So that's just a really cool piece of history. Even now, the hobo pool is open all the time, year round, unless it's being cleaned or there's some sort of extenuating circumstance. And it's completely free to the public. So it's open and available to everyone, which I think is really cool.
I'm not quite sure what I was expecting when I heard the term hobo pool, but it wasn't what I thought it would be. You walk in and it's a square pool with a small circular stone pool attached to it. There were lockers and locker rooms available with showers and toilets and stuff. And they had a whiteboard with all of the temperatures of the different pools available. There was also a kid's pool where the temperature wasn't as hot, but we were cool And we stayed the normal pool.
Yeah, so the springs here are definitely like a little more casual than some of the other places we've been, but I think this kind of heightens the authenticity of going to a hot spring. There are also still some like undeveloped springs in the river and across the nearby bridge, and so like a lot of the locals will hang out there. And you can walk right out of these pools onto the banks of the river, which is really cool. It's all right there. The Wedge page for the Hot Springs Resort says that the springs in Saratoga, much like the other ones we visited, were considering like this gathering place for healing. So I think it's really cool when we go and there's often kids from Laramie like doing their weekend thing across from the university. And there's also locals there all the time. And you end up having some really cool conversations.
I was kind of grossed out by all the algae and stuff floating around, but that's because I guess I wasn't used to it. But I got in. I'm a tough cookie. I was not a chicken. And I got in and I quite enjoyed it. The water was a lot hotter than I thought it would be as well. I had a solid line at my hips. That was like my legs were red because the water was that warm. And then my top half was pale because that's usually my complexion. But it was really warm and relaxing water, though.
Kind of giggling because it was kind of funny. Definitely not a chlorinated lap pool, but I kind of grew up swimming in muddy rivers and lakes, so I'm always super excited about like algae. The Belfish River that runs right through my hometown is full of big clams and snapping turtles and leeches.
Leeches?
Leeches. Ugh. So a little bit of algae in the hobo hot pools. Nothing to me. And they do clean these pools. They're just like a really ideal environment for algae to grow, you know? And on another note, like Caroline said, there are essentially two pools and one of the two is divided. So I'm trying to give you a visual a bit. They call the pool that's off to the side of the not so hot pool. That's where the kids are. And the main pool is the hobo pool. And that's the official name. Within the main pool, that sort of circle of rocks that Caroline was talking about, they call that the lobster pot because it's hotter than normal. And I think that's hilarious. The lobster pot sits at like 120 degrees and you couldn't pay me to get in it.
No, absolutely not. Doesn't sound fun.
Yeah, and these are like all completely naturally sort of regulated, so they can't just like turn the heat down. So they write on a whiteboard, this is how hot it is today, just so people have an idea before they get in.
Although, massive respect, there was this cool old guy. Like, he is the old guy that if I were an old man, I would hope that I would be this cool of a guy. He was sitting in the lobster pot and he had like the line of heat, but you could distinctly see it. Like, mine was kind of faint. His was red and then white.
Just across his collarbone.
Exactly. And he was sitting there and he was chilling out. I'm like, good for you, man. And then he would disappear for a couple minutes. And we're like, where did he go? He would go and sit in the river next to the hobo pools, which is full of snow runoff. Like, it's a cold river and it's the most extreme form of contrast like therapy I've ever seen. But massive respect. That's just plain impressive. It was just cool. After that, we were kind of hungry and kind of dehydrated. So we stopped to get lunch at the Hotel Wolf. There was a phone booth with an actual phone dial. I haven't seen one of those in a while. So hashtag go to our website because it's going to be featured there. I was really excited, though. We took a picture and it was doubly vintage because the phone was like a payphone in itself inside an older payphone booth. So I felt double young. It was great. There were also pictures and certificates all around the restaurant. I was surprised with how old the hotel actually was. It's pretty cool.
I think I have a picture of my brother at like 12 or 13 years old sitting in that phone booth because he'd never seen one before. They've also got this fancy old-timey typewriter up by the cash register. We're going to post all of our pictures on the site, just like always, I promise. I really wanted to eat at the Wolf because it's so classic Saratoga. If you ask a local about the history of Saratoga, they're going to mention the Hotel Wolf. We got most of our information from like around the place. There are various signs and such, like Caroline mentioned. And it's also on their like surprisingly really nice website. It's such an old building that I didn't expect like a new website for some reason. The Hotel Wolf has been around since 1893. The website also says that their grand opening way back when was a masquerade ball, which is so mysterious and fancy.
That sounds so fun.
I love that fact.
Okay, can we just, the masquerade ball at the Hotel Wolf. How does that not sound like a good time? Like, sounds amazing. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. They're also now on the National Register of Historic Places. So this is like not just a really old building, like an old, important historical building. Website says that Neil Gorsuch, the Supreme Court Justice, is related to the original Wolf family, which is kind of cool. And if you've read every single C.J. Box novel like my fiance has, you might be excited to go because the main character in that main series of his stayed here. There's actually a C.J. Box burger on the menu, and Brady reports back that it was super good.
Yeah, I really like the food. I got the, what was it, a Western Wild barbecue burger. It had onion rings, bacon, and barbecue sauce, which means I am there. It was so good, though.
I had a steak salad, and it was so good.
So maybe it had to do with the fact that we were also very hungry, and when, as soon as the waitress poured the glasses of water, like, the pitcher just was gone. Like, we've downed it so fast.
That is something, like, much like a hot tub or a jacuzzi. Hot springs are just gonna dehydrate you so bad, and then you're gonna be so hungry and so thirsty.
Which makes the food taste even better, in my opinion. I mean, food tastes great anyway, but it doesn't taste better than when you're hungry.
So after our lunch at the Wolf, our friends wanted to try their hands at fishing the Platte River, which is a blue ribbon fishery, which is, like, a pretty high commendation if you're not into fishing. I didn't bring my fishing license, and so I knew I wasn't going to partake in the fishing, and Caroline isn't super into fishing anyway.
I mean, it's cool. I'll sit there, but, like, I don't want to touch one.
So we decided to explore a little bit downtown. This is when we visited those cute little shops and such, but it's also when we went to Lollipops, which is this adorable little ice cream place slash casual eatery slash cafe situation downtown.
My favorite part of the trip, hands down. It was a super cute 50s style ice cream slash malt shop sort of vibe. Like, we actually sat at a counter and they had cool sundae glasses and a soda pop fountain. The ice cream, oh, so good. I got a red velvet ice cream, which was amazing. And my soulmate, whoever you are out there, you're going to come second place to this ice cream. I'm sorry. It was just that good. We sat in these round leather top seats. And they were nice and leather, and the lady welcomed us, and she was super friendly. And it was just super, super fun.
Yeah, I love that you can just go into a place in a small town like this, and we chatted there for like 20 minutes with the owners. Like, that's one of my favorite things about small towns. I had a watermelon Jolly Rancher scoop and a red velvet scoop, which was not a great combination, but I really needed to try both, and they were both fantastic, where they didn't mix.
I was kind of weirded out when you said that order, but I mean, if it tasted good.
Oh, it's really good. And while we were there, I got a picture of a cute little brown trout that Brady caught and released in the river, and we ended up heading back down by the river in time to share a bit of the ice cream with the guys so that they wouldn't miss out.
Yeah, I was kind of sad that I didn't get to finish the whole ice cream bowl myself, but I'm trying to be nice and helpful. So anyway, that was really good. And then we met up with the boys, which was cool.
So Saratoga is, like we've mentioned, huge on fishing because of the Platte River, but there's also a fish hatchery right outside of town. This is a national fish hatchery, and it's 111 years old, which is wild. And as someone that's into fish and wildlife, that just blows my mind a little bit. I love that we've been working on conservation for so long here. The fish hatchery works on fish conservation in a number of ways, including raising fish eggs of lots of kind of fish, especially trout. But that's not all they've helped with. This brings us to our academic intersection of the podcast. And this week, I'm getting to talk about the Wyoming toad.
A Wyoming toad?
The Wyoming toad.
Oh, articles. Okay. The Wyoming toad. What you got?
Federally listed as endangered since 1984, there have been some really long-term enthusiastic efforts to really save this funky little amphibian. The study I'm looking at for this episode is by Martin Meter, Bender, and Hopper, and it's called Isolation and Characterization of 27 Novel Microsatellite Loci in Critically Endangered Wyoming Toad, which was published in the Journal of Wildlife and Fish Management. Excuse me, Journal of Fish and Wildlife Management. My degree says wildlife first, so it just comes out naturally. But the Journal of Fish and Wildlife Management is one of my favorite and constantly cited peer-reviewed journals in my field, so I was super excited to get to highlight this paper. Of course, we'll cite this in the show notes again, and there's a lot of, like, pretty technical jargon that I just threw at you. So essentially, this paper and these research, the researchers were looking at locations on chromosomes on these Wyoming toads where they can identify specific genes And the idea behind that is that you identify genes in specific places so that you can compare the relatedness of toads. So in a lot of recovery efforts with animals that are endangered, there's a concern that you have this really small population and that's all you have. And so all you have in the gene pool is the genes that those toads or whatever you have are carrying. And so if you're not careful, you're going to get a lot of like inbreeding, and that lessens the genetic diversity and can sometimes cause problems for the recovery of whatever animal you're working with, whatever population you're trying to restore. So if you know where those genes are, like they did in this research study, you can compare those genes on different individuals and try to figure out how related some of these toads are to each other. And then you can try to avoid some of that inbreeding and the risks that'll end up coming with that. And this is all super cool to me. But you might be wondering, why does this relate to our episode? Not only is the Wyoming toad in the Laramie Basin area, which is close to Saratoga, but the authors specifically thank the fish hatchery in Saratoga for their help and for providing samples. So this is a very real, very relevant thing that works not just with toads, but with like any kind of really small endangered population. And it's in my area of academia, which is really cool. And it's something that's happening in Saratoga, Wyoming.
Okay, that's pretty cool. I was doubting the whole toad thing, and I'm very excited about it now. I didn't realize that science could go, okay, I kind of knew it could go small because we've had people study atoms, but they study chromosomes to see if frogs are related.
Mm-hmm.
Toads, excuse me, not frogs.
They are toads.
I'm sorry, guys. This is what happens when I spend time with Taylor, is that I actually recognize there's a difference between frogs and toads.
Turtles and tortoises are next.
Oh, boy. Got that to look forward to. But that's super exciting. And actually, it's a pretty cool research paper.
I thought it was a really, really cool paper. And it is one of those ones that is like pretty technical in the language. But they're doing this widely applicable, super interesting stuff. And I was so excited to get to talk about it.
I also didn't realize how close it was to where we are. I know sometimes we talk about moose and bears, and those aren't really frequent in Laramie just because A, it's a city, and B, we don't have the habitat for either of those creatures. But like those are right here. Like,
yeah, you're not going to find a Wyoming toad within Laramie, Wyoming. But in the basin area, there are a few wet spots where they are located, and they are very endangered. So it's really cool when we get to see like successful work on them like this. And amphibians are really hard to work with conservation wise because they're super sensitive to people handling them, to any of that. I had a friend who worked with frogs for a while, and they couldn't wear like sunscreen, they couldn't wear bug spray because any of those chemicals, if it was on their hands, would affect the frogs.
Scary, cool.
But really interesting. So like, amphibians are hard to work with, and this is really cool, really positive research.
I love that they're making a difference. Go team. Team Earth. Woohoo. Anyway, the trip to Saratoga only took about a day. It was an hour and a half drive out. We spent most of the day there, and I will confess that we originally planned to only spend like 2 hours there, and then we just had like a great time and just stayed longer. Thank you, Spring Forward, for making our days longer.
My brother kept texting me. He's like, are you home yet? I need to come, you know, to your apartment and do something. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to be home. We're having a good time.
Yeah, basically. But we had a blast. The ice cream was really good. The food was really good. The shopping was really fun. But that brings us to the close of this episode, which, of course, would not be complete without a trip to the Curiosity Corner. This is where I set a timer for 3 minutes, and Taylor, our local resident expert in toads and all other things, gets to talk about whatever she wants. You ready?
I'm so ready.
All right, go.
So I just talked about the Wyoming toad, and some of you might be wondering why I care about a toad. First of all, personally, I care about a lot of teeny animals because that's how I am, particularly when they're mammals and mud snails. And right now, Caroline is giggling at me because back in freshman year, I went to a professor's office hours specifically to ask her about her research with New Zealand mud snails, and everyone made fun of me when I came back to the dorms all excited, but that semester really confirmed for me that I was doing the right thing with my college education because I was so incredibly excited in that class when I learned about microscopic animals like mud snails, the same way I was excited to learn about vertebrates that are things with backbones and things like octopus. I get, however, not everyone's into snails or whatever, and you don't always hear about the conservation efforts for those littler or lesser known animals like our dear Wyoming toad. There's a whole reason for it, though, and that's kind of the point of this curiosity corner. We talk a lot in my classes about the concept of charismatic megafauna. Those are animals that are big and recognizable, and people care about them. I had a professor tell me once that a lot of times charismatic megafauna are animals that people either would like to hug abstractly or they'd like to hunt them. So that's like a pretty easy way to remember it. It's not all encompassing. But these are things like mule deer, like tigers, like polar bears, like stuff that's on the front of magazines. And these things need recognition and conservation efforts. They absolutely do. And sometimes the idea is that bringing attention to these bigger, like super cool, super well-known animals will sort of incidentally protect everything in their habitat, which is known as the umbrella effect. So if we protect mule deer, we're also going to protect whatever little creepy crawlies are down in the sagebrush because we're protecting that mule deer's sagebrush habitat, you know? I believe strongly, as a lot of folks do, that we should also just give all sorts of love to all sorts of animals. I personally got to work on chipmunks last semester with a class I was taking. And while you might not think of chipmunks when you think of wildlife research, we learned some really incredible stuff and got some really amazing experience. Don't try to catch any of these animals or work on them without the proper permits or anything, obviously. And also chipmunks bite, in case you're wondering. Here in Laramie, for example, also, the tiger salamanders are about ready to migrate, and if you happen to see one, check out the university's public stuff about it and help it migrate. So sometimes they need help crossing the road while they try to get to Labonte Park. And if you're not in Laramie, you don't need to know that, but know that tiger salamanders migrate, which is super cool. And if I can impart any wisdom in this 3-minute corner and across all of the influence I've had on this podcast, please give some less popular animals some love in addition to how much you love your mule deer and your mountain lions. It's like, don't get me wrong, I love my deer. I get to study deer, but I also love the tiger salamander and the Wyoming toad and chipmunks just as much.
That was perfect. My timer's literally going off as we speak. Guys, you should see Taylor's grin right now. She's so excited about New Zealand mud snails. And
this is why we implemented the Curiosity Corner, to just give me a minute to get up on my soapbox about how cool wildlife biology is.
I always think wildlife biology is cool. I just don't think it's... I don't think about it as much as you do, which makes a lot of sense. Anyway, a couple things. First off, what is a tiger salamander?
So the tiger salamander is Wyoming's species of salamander. And essentially, they're going to live like underground, mostly in and around Laramie. And then they migrate in Laramie specifically to Labonte Park to migrate to breed at the pond in there. And so sometimes they have trouble crossing the roads there because we've put in roads that kind of mess with their migration routes. And actually having roads mess with migration routes is something I'm going to talk about in our next podcast too, because it's not just the salamanders, it's pronghorn and mule deer and anything that has to go distances. But we have this whole initiative on campus that I'm learning about in one of my classes, where people go out and they look for these salamanders and they like take them out of harm's way, or like we'll carry them across the street. And there are like specific ways to do that. You want to like put it in a wet bucket and not like touch it by hand, because sometimes amphibian skin is really sensitive to stuff that might be on our hands, and you want to be really nice to these animals. But I think it's super cool.
They sound so cute.
They're pretty cute.
I mean, I'm not a reptile / amphibian person. You could not pay me to touch a snake, but tiger salamander sounds pretty sick. And I've seen posters around it on campus, so it's not just limited to Taylor's classes. Like,
they're doing a Salamander Saturday on April 9th, and I'm going to be gone, and I'm very sad.
I would love to go in your stead, but no thank you. I will go in support. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. It's coming up. Anyway, that was a great Curiosity Corner.
Thank you. Well done.
That was fun. Give love to your lesser animals. As usual, all the information we talked about, as well as any of the sources we've used on this podcast, are available on our website, which is tkandcwuwcapstone.wordpress.com. Like we said earlier, we also did post pictures of us. I pretended to be a fisherman in one of the pictures, so if you see a picture of me with a tackle box and a fishing rod, please note that I did not actually go fishing. I was helping carry stuff to the car.
Alrighty, folks. Thank you for tuning into this episode. This is our last regular episode, like we said, but you can't get rid of us just quite yet. Next episode is going to be the conclusion of this podcast series, so be sure to tune in to hear a view of all of our trips and hopefully a preview of our adventures coming up. But for now, we're signing off, and this is Wyoming Through New Eyes.